Perek Dalet, you know why? Because it's math. Perek Dalet, Mishnah, Perek Dalet, Lacha Dalet. Chav Dalet Nalf. Mashach Menu Meiser Besoa. Now, we learned earlier in the Perek that you always put redeem Meiser based on the lowest possible value you can find. However, there are limitations on that. And that's what we're going to learn about tonight. It's not always 100% smooth. For instance, Marshall Meno Meiser Besela. There's another way of redeeming Meiser Sheni besides outright redemption, which is purchase. So I could purchase your Meiser Sheni, in which case it now becomes Chulin in my hands, and the Meiser Sheni money is in your hands. Is that clear what just happened now? Okay, you get money, which is Meiser Chulin. I get the Meiser Sheni, you get the Chulin. Okay? So in this case, Moshe Meno Meiser Besela. Actually, that's not the case. There's no Meiser Sheni. The sale redeems the Meiser Sheni. So hypothetically, the money ends up as Meiser Sheni. The fruit does not end up as Meiser Sheni. Scratch what I just said. In other words, I have fruit. I sell it to you. The sale is the redemption. Now the money is the Meiser Sheni, right? Not the fruit. The fruit is now chulin. That's the whole point of the transaction. Okay. Exactly. Okay. So Moshe Meno Meiser Besela. I bought from you Meiser when it was a seller. In other words, a dollar a pound. The lawyer speaks of those. I didn't get a chance to redeem it. In other words, they didn't pay up. I did the Meshicha at the dollar a pound. But I didn't pay until it went up, the price went up, until it cost $2 a pound. So now what do I have to give you? Okay, the Meshicha was done already. There's no money which exchanged hands, right? No sin lausela. I give you a dollar. Umistaker besela. And I keep a dollar. Meiser Sheni shalom. But now each one of us has a dollar of Meiser Sheni. Which you got a dollar of Meiser Sheni, you the seller. Because I gave you that dollar, that's what I owed you, because the Mashiach was done at the price of a dollar. I have, however, also to redeem the other dollars worth of Meiser Sheni. Why? Because redemption is not at the time of the Mashiach. When does redemption actually take place? Now, when I cough up the dough, right? So I give you a dollar, because that's what I owe you, because the time of Mashiach was a dollar, and I keep a dollar. Both are dollars in Meiser Sheni. Is that clear? Okay? So, now, what about the opposite case? You knew this was coming. Mashu Menu Meiser B'Shtayim, right? The Mashiach was done when it was $2 a pound. And then the price went down. The redemption didn't take place. Acham HaBesel until it went down to $1 a pound. No sin lo selam yichulav. So I give you a dollar, which I have to give you $2, right? So, but only a dollar is redemption, right? So I give you a dollar of a dollar of the which is chulin. The seller gets chulin a dollar, and seller shall meiser sheni shalo, and additionally the seller meiser sheni. Okay, so he gets $2 because that was the deal, right? Only it was seller's chulin and a seller's meiser sheni, because again, when's the redemption taking place? Now. And what's it worth? It's worth only a dollar. So I'm giving him two, one of chulin, one of meiser sheni. Okay?
Aren't you?
I don't know if I translated that right.
At that second dollar? I mean, because the price originally was agreed on was $2.
Yeah.
So you're only paying me $1 now, the other dollar. It doesn't have a semblance of fiducia that it was designated to be meiser sheni money?
I'm not sure what you have a legitimate emotional complaint, but it won't work legalistically, because legalistically now is the opinion, not the Mashiach. The Mashiach is meaningless in terms of the opinion. The opinion is now.
Why doesn't the Mashiach just say simply everything is dependent on Shas
opinion? I don't know why the Mashiach said it, and the truth is I didn't fully understand the Mashiach until I just explained it. Now that I explained it, seems pretty easy. And the Mishnah could have reduced it to a very simple phrase. I don't know. I really don't know why the Mishnah didn't just say that.
Now, we've had other cases in Bavli that similarly, the Mishnah potential the price fluctuates.
Yeah.
And how do we go? We go by what it is at the time of the final sale.
That's not true by Mashiach. Once you made Mashiach, that determines it. If I paid you money, a down payment, so then things can fluctuate because most ain't in konos or midrabbanan, but possibly okay. But by Mashiach, Mashiach is what fixes the. This price of sale forever. That's the way it is. Okay? Because that's the point of sale. Those are all Chosh Mishpa cases. This also is really similar to Chosh Mishpa in this respect. The only difference is that since Pidyon is not, well, let's put it this way. Mashiach only is the Rabbanon. And that's the Chosh Mishpa aspect. With the Raisa, you need the Mos. And that's why the pitch is not complete to the time that the money changes hands. Says Amoretz, what if the seller, the person who sells the Maizer Sheni fruit, is an Amoretz? No sin lo, it should be here, midmai. That's what the Mishnah says. It should be demai. In other words, you shouldn't give him Maizer Sheni money, you should give him demai money. Why should you give him demai money? So it's an interesting thing. Of course, if you were afraid the Amoritz is not going to eat the Maizer Sheni properly. However, in a case where the pidyon was done on this commodity, fair and square, where there are no fluctuations in price, so you got the commodity, you give him the money. What can you do? He doesn't use the money properly. It's not your fault, right? But here, You're giving him the extra. This is talking about a case where it started off being $2, and now it's worth $1, right? So the pigeon of Meiser Sheni, really, you could have kept to yourself. No, is that going to work? No, that's what it means. Okay. The first selah is you have to give him your regular chulin, which becomes the Maizer Sheni, right? That becomes the Maizer Sheni. The second selah, you owe him money because you made an agreement to two. And that you're allowed to give him other Maizer Sheni money. Because after all, the time you made the agreement, the Amoritz is fully expecting to get Maizer Sheni money. That was the idea. In other words, you took from him fruit which is worth two. You're going to give him two, right? Those two would have been Meiser Sheni money. So you're entitled to give him Meiser Sheni money. Now the price went down, right? So you give him the $1 from your own chulin, which becomes Meiser Sheni money in the hands of the Amoritz. There's no need to talk about it. But the second one, which you give him, the second dollar, that dollar, had the price not gone down, you would have had to also cough up your own chulin, which would revert to Meiser Sheni in the hands of the Amoritz. But now that the price went down and the Meiser Sheni is redeemed for a dollar, so the second dollar, that which we led, it's a kula which we're giving you, that you can pay him up with Meiser Sheni money, right? The Meiser Sheni is fully redeemed. Well, on the contrary, since the Meiser Sheni is fully redeemed, so the second dollar doesn't have to be chulin. When does the money have to be chulin? When it's going to become Meiser Sheni money now as a result of the transaction. When, however, the transaction is already completed in $1. And the second dollar only giving him because that was the original agreed upon sum. So then that second dollar, even though if you had given him chulin, it would remain chulin in his hands because the pidyon is complete in the first dollar. That locha tells you, well, of course, the guy was only expecting to get Meiser Sheni money. So you have this kula that you can pay him up with Meiser Sheni money. But says the Gemara, on this second dollar, if he's an Amoretz, you got to give it him from Meiser Sheni money of the Mai. Because Melon, the first dollar, you got Maitre Sheni from him, you give him Maitre Sheni back, you're not responsible for that. But to give him a second dollar Maitre Sheni of your own Maitre Sheni money with a suspicion that he might well abuse it, that you may not do. So where, what Maitre Sheni money may you give him for that second dollar? Only a Maitre Sheni of Tamai. Okay? Says, I pay the Maitre Sheni below Karashem. If somebody redeems Maitre Sheni and does not designate the name of the money, meaning takes $2 out of his pocket and puts it on the table. Rabbi Yisrael Meir Tayo. That's all he has to do. Rabbi Meir Circle Fresh has got to specify these $2 for Pidyon Maitre Sheni. Similarly, so Gemara from in Kedushin, if you're talking to a woman about matters of divorce or of marriage, and then you gave her money for marriage or you gave her a document for divorce, she didn't say Harayat Mekudeshesli, or he didn't say Zegitech, but you told Shmuzi about beforehand, Rabbi Yossi Meir Dayo, that suffices. Rabbi Yudah Meir Tzarek Lefayesh, you have to specify that this is a getter, this is a kiddushin. Has to be specified. Okay? Masnis in the local Rav Shin Gamliel. It's Mishnah Rav Shin Gamliel. Now Rav Shin Gamliel Loimer, Rav Shin Gamliel says, Liyayla Mashiachos Rosh Maitre Sheni Upidyono. The Mashiach of Maitre Sheni is the pidyon. It's not the giving the money. He holds that by Maitre Sheni it goes by the Mashiach. Now, what do you mean it goes by the Mashiach? In other words, there's no there are no distinctions. Price goes up, price goes down. We ignore all that. We just go by what it was by Mashiach, with ignoring any factor which creeps in later on. Rabbi Yossi B'Shem Rabbi Loza said, "Amos even chomesh al asela hashniyah." He says that you don't add a chomesh on the second sela. Now, this story about when the Maitre Sheni was worth a dollar when you bought it, when we did Mashiach, then went up to $2, right? So you give him, you have to give him a dollar, right? But then you still have to pay another dollar from your own house and keep that second dollar, right? That second dollar, you don't have to add a chomesh on it. You don't have to add a chomesh? So, ha vahaya, I don't know why, but the Gra changes the gear, so I guess because of... makes sense. So obviously Rabbi Lezer wasn't looking at him in astonishment. He's quoting Rabbi Lezer. Rather, the Gra changes to Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Zeira Mistakabe. He looked at him funny. What? He said, what? I mean, he didn't say anything. He just looked at him. What are you, crazy? Right? The second Selah, which is giving, that's his own personal opinion. Why should you not have to add on a fifth to it? Amar Leit, so Rabbi Yossi said, Mat Mistakabe. Why are you looking at me? Af, and here the grudge takes it, takes out the parentheses, and it takes out the hila. Af Rebbe Moideme. Do you have hila in parentheses?
No.
Okay. Here the grudge takes out the word hila. Af Rebbe Moideme. Even Rebbe concedes this point. Kaidam Rabbi Yochanan, as Rabbi Yochanan said, that we assume that this is from Rebbe. I don't know exactly how we know that. But Kol Maitre Sheni She'ein Hu Pidyona Mishalo, anytime the Maitre Sheni is not it, and it's redemption from him, and here, of course, the Maitre Sheni itself is not from him, because he acquired it through a transaction, Eino Maitre Chomish, you don't add on a fifth. Okay? Now let's leave Maitre Sheni for a while, and let's talk about some good old Noshim Lom this year. Ma'ot Tzorech Lefarish. What do you have to specify? You have to specify Zegitech, Zekidushech. This is your get, this is your Kiddushin. That's the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda that you have to be specific all over. Rabbi Zira, and Chia Barbun, and Abba Tachlifa, also B'Shem Rabbi Yehoshua. Ma Pligi Wednesday, Machlokas, Kshifligo Daito Minyonas Acherim. When they fligel daita means they distance themselves. In other words, they got distracted into other areas of discussion. If they were dealing constantly in the matter of kitten or kiddushin, and then immediately thereafter a get or kiddushin train chant, get to, and the rash leu adds kiddushinu. It's a get and kiddushin. Whereas the only time we have an issue is when in the middle they got distracted. But if it's a continuous discussion of get or kiddushin, then it's valid even without specification, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who normally holds Tzorech Lefarish. Rabbi Chagai boy Rakumi Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Chagai asked from Rabbi Yossi. In the following machlokas, which we will cite, which, do we want to say that Rabbi is like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nosson, Rabbi Yehuda? That Rabbi goes like Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Nosson goes like Rabbi Yehuda? The Tinya Timon, what's the, we learned over there. This is classic getting. If she should Kabbalah, the woman appoints a shliach le Kabbalah. The woman says, a woman appoints Reuven to be her shliach, to be makabel to get from the husband. Reuven comes to the husband. He says, "I'm here to accept the get." Shliach Kabbalah. From when does the gerushin take effect? Time of the Kabbalah, right? Time she the shliach gets the get in hand. Okay, so it says the husband says, "If she should Kabbalah, it's not possible for you to be the shliach Kabbalah." And here's a change in girsa. Where the everybody changes girsa, hoylech v'teinla, rather be a shliach lo locha. What's a shliach lo locha? Shliach to carry the get to her. In which case, when is she megureshes? As soon as he gives it to her, right? So the shliach gives to her. Im rotza lachsi yachsir. So there, as long as the shliach has the get in hand, the husband can renege on the gerushin. Why? Right? Because the gerushin doesn't take effect until it actually reaches the woman's hand. Masnisa de Rebbe. This brisa is like Rebbe. The Tani we learned, Amra, if she said to her shaliach, and here the also changes it, everybody changes it to hiskabeli giti, receive from me my get. V'holach v'amar lo, and the shaliach went and said to the husband, ishtecha Amra, your wife said, hiskabeli giti, receive from me the get. Holichola. The shliach got to get to bring to her v'nasnola, and he gave it to her zachola. Let me start the price over again. Bad mistake. The tiny amra is kabbali giti v'harach v'amra ishtecha amra is kabbali giti. Now, the husband says, holy chola. He doesn't say EF she. He says, holy. He doesn't say no. He just says, take it to her. V'nun unasanola, and give it to her. Zachola, he says, be mezakif her. Skabala, receive it to her. Any lashon like this. Once he gives it to the shliach, he can no longer renege according to Rebbe. Now, it's none of these languages cancel the shliach status as a shliach lekabbalah. Why? Because he didn't say what? EFSHI. He didn't say it's not possible. He asked the
Meb. So it still depends on the Baal Na'am, the Isha?
No.
Because the Isha is the one that appointed the shliach. So
you would have to repudiate that shlichus. Once he repudiates that shlichus, he doesn't have to accept the fact that this is that this guy is a shliach. So, but once he has to verbally repudiate his shlichus and appoint him as a shliach lo locha. Okay, Rabbi Nosson Mer depends what he says. Holichula. If he says take it to her, when his son-in-law or give it to her, if he wants to renege afterwards, Yachzir is allowed to renege. Zachala, acquired for her, hiskabala or receive it for her, he can't renege. So a very basic distinction according to Rabbi Nosson. Even if you didn't say efshi, if you said holicho. Or a nisano, so then the shliach becomes a shliach loloch, the shliach of the husband, and he can renege until he reaches her hands. Rabbi Yomer b'kulon lo yachzir. In all these cases, the husband cannot renege after giving the get into the hands of the shliach. Achi yomer lo, unless he said to the shliach, ef shishet kabli it's not possible that you should be the recipient, Elisha Tolichila, rather you should bring it to her. Now, all that is Rebbe's and Rabbi Nosson's machlokas over there. The kasha al de Rebbe, it's difficult on that which Rebbe said. Now here also there's a typo. It should be holech. If he says, take it, midiburi, from his statement, imrotza, from my statement, imrotza lachsir yachsir. I don't understand, says the Gemara. What's the logic of Rebbe who says that as long as he didn't say, efshar, from his language, it should be imrata lahachsir yachsir. It says you're lo yachsir by you. Yes. Does it say lo yachsir? It's a typo. It should, the Rosh Hashanah takes it out. So it should be, again, according to Rebbe, it's difficult. From his language, it should be sufficient that he should be able to renege. And it should be from midu diburei, I guess, not diburi, diburei. In other words, from his statement. The kasha to Rabbi Nosson and vice versa. And it's difficult to Rabbi Nosson from the holech midibura. Maybe the holech is, even though the husband did say holech, maybe it means on the basis of her statement. Dibura is his statement, and dibura is her statement, right? So, imrotza lachzir lo yachzir. Maybe that we should say, therefore, that it's, as long as he didn't say EFSHI, we go on the basis of what she said, and therefore the husband can't renege. In other words, basically what we're saying is, I don't understand, basically what we're saying is, what's the svar of the machlokas? According to Rebbe, perhaps his statement was meant to change the nature of the shlichus. According to Rabbi Nosson, it's difficult, perhaps his statement was meant to confirm her vision of the shlichus. As long as he doesn't say some words which actually change the kind of the meaning, so we can ask in either direction. So says the Gemara, Rabbi Chuna Amar Nase Shlucho Ushlucha. So Rabbi Chuna wanted to say, well, you're right. Stuck it. We don't know what's happening. So therefore, he becomes a shliach of both of them. He's a shliach of both the husband and the wife. Says the Gemara, Isa Amar. Isa said, how can you say this? Kulon Netinon Shlucho Ushlucho. Anytime you say that it's his shliach and her shliach, mugureshes veinu mugureshes. So it would be a suffix. Here we're saying with definitiveness, we're saying if he says X, then she can no longer renege. If he says Y, he can renege. There's no case where it says you're suffix, but by definition, we're not sure who shliach it is, meaning, which is tantamount to saying both of their shliach, then we'd have to say it's a suffix, that we don't know how to paskin. And yet nobody came to that conclusion. Now the Gemara doesn't draw the obvious conclusion which Rabbi Chagai wanted to draw from this. But he brings down here the Levi Yerushalayim, this new parish I'm using, he brings down here that it must be, that Rabbi Chagai meant to say must be, that the machlokas here is the same machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi, but machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Nosson, same machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi holds with Rabbi Yossi that any time they were asukim boso inyan, they were dealing previously in a certain issue, we continue along those lines. And therefore, since a statement was made by her that she wants the guy to be a shliach Kabbalah, we continue along those lines unless the husband says EF she, which abruptly breaks the previous line of thought. Whereas Rabbi Nelson holds like Rabbi Huda, that previous lines of thought are irrelevant. And therefore, in our case, even if they were talking about Kiddushin and Gittin all day, doesn't matter. Now, in order to make it a Kiddushin or Gittin, it has to be verbalized that this is Kiddushin, this is Gittin. And so to hear, even though she had previously, the wife had appointed this guy Shliach Kabbalah, that's what passes water on the bridge. Right now, let's see what's going on. The husband says a language which indicates that he wants a locha, that determines the nature of the shlichas even if he didn't say EFSHI. Again, because they don't look at any antecedents, I only look at the current situation. Okay, so that's in terms of machlokas. That according to Rebbe, we look at antecedent behavior, just like over here Rabbi Yossi says that we look at what they were talking about previously about getting kiddusha, and Rabbanon and Rabbi Nosson holds that we don't look at antecedent behavior, just like over here according to Rabbi Yossi, it's not enough. They were talking previously about iske gita kita v'kiddusha. Okay, so it says the Gemara, Am Arlei. So Rabbi Yossi said to Rabbi Chagai, what else would you want to say? I certainly don't have a better pshat than that. It's a nice pshat. Vam Rabbi Zira. And Rabbi Zira says, no. Chia Barbun and Abba Tachli Bashem Rabbi Yosha said, no. It's no comparison. Ma pligin, just like we said above. Ma pligin, where do we have machlokas Rabbi Yosha and Rabbi Yudan our Mishnah? Kshi fligu daitun ledoin yonim achayim. We said before, what did you forget? We said before that when does there machlokas? Only if in the middle they interrupted and got distracted in other matters. Avlima you are sukin boso in yin getu. But if they were dealing with the same issue continuously, then it is a val get. Vahacha, and yet nonetheless the machlokas Rabbi and Rabbi Nosson is afilu ain asuki boso ininu machlokas. Even if the woman said she made a shlil kabbalah, and the whole time they're all in the same room, ichveis, and the everything was continuous. Still I say that I have a machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Nosson. So it can't be the same basis as machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda. Because machlokas Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah is talking specifically about a case where what? Where there was an interruption in the middle, right? And there, the machlokas Rebbe and Rabbi Nosson is even if there is no interruption in the middle. So the Gemara, that's the sugya ends abruptly here. However, the Lev Yerushalayim in the Ridbaz bring down as well that in the Bavli it explains what the machlokas is. Machlokas whether we say hoylech is kischi. When the husband says hoylech, it maybe he doesn't mean really that he should be the shliach should be a shliach lalacha, but rather he should be zoicha the get for her. That's what it means to say. Okay, so in other words, it's a question of linguistics more than a question of more than anything else, how you interpret the word holech. Okay, so says Gemara further. Rabbi Ezra boy kubi Rabbi Mara. Rabbi Ezra asked in front of Rabbi Mara, "Afli matana kein? Is this true in by matana as well?" Now I don't. The best of my knowledge, this does not appear anywhere in the Bavli. Sarah Masoros Hashas on the side, which says that it does. Okay, this is a very basic question. I don't even recall that Bavli deals with this. Can you make a shliach lekabbalah by a matana? Can the recipient of a gift make a shliach lekabbalah? Then when the what? Because Yerushalmi is going to say not. Can a recipient of matana receive a gift by a shliach, and that shliach is binding on the giver of the gift from the moment that the shliach receives the gift? That's the question. Is it similar to get in that fashion or not? Okay? So Rabbi Ezra boy kumi Rabbi Mona. Rabbi Ezra has a friend of Rabbi Mona. After your matana, okay? Is this true also about a gift? Adam oizer shliach kabel dover shein or shalo? Can a person make a shliach to be makabel something which is not yet his? Or not? That's the question. Whether right now he has the law, there's a question. Does he have any authority whatsoever right now? Or shlichus implies a certain degree of authority. Bear in mind, this is not an power of attorney, power or agency. Power of attorney agency is called the Gemara Harshoah. And Harshoah is a complicated, it's very complicated to make, give somebody the power of attorney over your property or an agent of yours. You're talking about shlichus, straight up shlichus, that he should be, it's also in English an agent, but he doesn't have complete power of attorney to act on your behalf. So the question is whether there is such a thing as simple shlichus in this matter. So it says the Gemara, no. The Torah gave the wife authority over receiving a get. That's the wife's role. She has a role in divorce to receive a get. That's part and parcel of the gerushin ceremony, right? So therefore, she can authorize somebody to take her role in this matter, okay? She's making a shliach to receive something which is really hers. Could you say by a gift Adam that a person can make a shliach to receive something which is not yet his? Hitak has no right to do it. There is no such thing as a shliach lekabola by a matana. That's where the Gemara Yerushalmi comes out. So ask the Gemara. Wait a minute. There's a raya. Vod minado. I have another raya. The Amar Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yaakov, Rabbi Zavdi, Rabbi Avo all said, B'shem Yochanan, Rabbi Yosi, name Rabbi Yochanan, Amar Lite Maton L'Chaver, somebody said he wants to give a gift to his friend, Ubikesh Lachzor Bo, and he wants to renege Chozer Bo. In other words, it ain't over till it's over. That's basically what we're saying. Until the gift reaches the hand of the recipient, anybody can renege, so that means there's no such thing as a Shliach L'Kabbalah by a Matonah.
The only logic
to support that is that the Kiyan has two aspects to it. Yeah. One is to acquire ownership, the other is to remove the prior ownership. You can appoint a shliach to renew the previous ownership. I'm only to accept that. I don't know if you have to complicate it that much. It's a clear of Reb Shimon. He asks a chakir. He says, not quite this. He says something similar, though. He asks, how does a kinyan work? Is it, I remove my object, which allows you to take possession of it? Or is it, you take possession of it, and thus remove my ownership from it? So he also divides it into two components and asks which is the cause, which is the effect.
So it really makes no sense why you cannot appoint your shliach to the kinyan. Why
can't
you
punish
them to do anything?
Because there's no koyach of Kabbalah by Matana. There's only bestowal, not acceptance. That's what he's saying.
Was it any different than a
chutzar? A chutzar is a yad.
Okay, that I understand. But
yeah.
So shliach is not a tam yad, I understand.
Right.
But it should be no worse than the authority of a yad.
Well, it can be worse because he's not your chotzer. He's a baal b'chira on his own. That's why we say there's a difference. By that, if the shliach is tied up, so he cannot exercise free will. Yeah. That's only in things that she has authority himself. He doesn't become you. You transfer to you vest in him authority. This is not saying which the authority exists before. It's like Gita V'yoda Boim Kachas. The authority to be an owner over it only comes together with the object. So there's no pre-existing authority which I can invest into somebody else. That's what the Yerushalmi is saying. Okay? Well, you understand it. You just want to give it more profundity. But you understand that that's besides the point, because it's a passive action. So the Gemara wants to say there's no exercise of authority, so therefore there's nothing to vest. Need something to vest? How are you going to vest? The only time you can vest is power of attorney. That's our shore. That's something else. You have to be machne karka in order to do that. There's no vesting unless you have the pre-existing authority. All right, I understand it's a point one can quibble on, but that's the point he's making. Okay, it says tomorrow, come Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi. Rabbi Yosi arose to strive with Rabbi Yaakov Bar Zavdi concerning this issue. Amalei said, "Vahainu hin tzedek." Is this hin tzedek? Hin tzedek literally means your measures should be just. But we dash it all over. Hein tzedek, when you say yeah, when you make a promise, you should keep it. When you say yes, you should make it righteous and follow through. So to hear, at the very least, he asked. He's asking I don't like the question. It's an ethical question imposed on a legalistic Gemara. But he's saying the moment, if you intend to give a gift, and you give it to a shliach, you should be bound to follow through because of the ethical obligation of keeping your word. And you gave your word on it. So that should be sufficiently binding. So says Mora, I don't like the Mora's question, I don't like the Mora's answer either. Says Mora, Amrin b'shosha Omar hin tzedekava. Oh! He meant what he said, but when he said it, now when the push came to shove. So that's why it's not binding. So the question is funny, the answer is funny, the bottom line is that's an ethical consideration. And you might even get a mishapara, you know, cursed for having reneged on the deal. But that's not a legalistic definition. Okay? All right. Says the Mishnah further. Take a deep breath before this Mishnah. Actually, the second half of the Mishnah is the difficult part. Haminia chisr. How many more minutes do we have? Haminia chisr. You put down an iser as money against which you're redeeming Meiser Sheni. Vachol of chetzio, and you ate, meaning that you redeemed corresponding to half of it. Vachol makom acher. You went somewhere else. What should I give as an example? You have a half dollar. You have a dollar. And you set it aside to be poured, and you were poured already on half a dollar. Now you have half a dollar left. You went to another city. In the second city, the half dollar is worth what a dollar is worth in the first. This half dollar is worth a dollar. Okay, in this second city, an isser's worth of punyon means a dollar's worth $2. So now, ochalav odisor. So now you can redeem on what was once a half a dollar a full dollar's worth because of the inflation. Okay, not inflation, the higher valuation. What about the opposite case? How many have punyon ochalav chetzio? You add a dollar. And you redeem corresponding to 50 cents. And then he went somewhere else. So the entire dollar is only worth 50 cents. Now in this case, if it was completely parallel, so what would you say? How much more can you redeem at this point? Zilch, right? Nothing. So nonetheless, we give you a kula. Echlav oplag. We give you an extra quarter. In other words, quarter, you know, and half of 50 cents. Because since you had half of your coin left, so therefore here we give you half of the value of the coin as well. So this is a cool one, you know, because of Meiser Sheni, because of the redemption of Meiser Sheni. Okay. This, the rest of the Mishnah, even the Kahati says, there's no group shot in it. Look this up in the Kahati. And there's no group shot in it. Not the Rambam, not the Rash, not the Tiferes Yisrael. No group shot. Okay? Does that prepare you for this? Okay. Haminiach Isra Shal Meiser Sheni. You have I'm going to learn like the Lev Yerushalayim here, who brings down the Rash, Sira Leil's shot. Your father left you an Isra Meiser Sheni. Your father is suspected of being an Amoritz, but you don't know for sure. He left you Nisar Meiser Sheni. Nisar Meiser Sheni money. What can you eat corresponding to that of grain? How much grain does that Issa represent? Okay, make the cheshbon. How much grain does that Issa represent? What? If that's all Meiser Sheni, how much grain has been redeemed? The entire Issa has been used for redemption. How much Meiser Sheni has been redeemed in Issa worth, right? An Issa worth of grain is how much. An Issa worth of Meiser Sheni exempts how much grain? No. How much Meister Sheni? How much of Meister Sheni grain? What's the proportion of Meister Sheni grain to the rest of it? 10%, right? So it should exempt 10%, 10 Yisorim worth, right? Should be allowed to eat 10 Yisorim worth corresponding to that one, right? The catch is that that's not a perfect cheshbon. Why is it not a perfect cheshbon? It's not a tenth of a tenth, but it's a tenth after a tenth has been taken off, right? Because already took off a tenth from Meiser Rishon, right? Now you're taking off another tenth from Meiser Sheni. Okay, so that so if that's the case, how much Meiser Sheni is that? How much actual percentage of Meiser Sheni? It's 0.9, right? It's 0.9, right? It's 0.9, because you already took off 10, not counting the Truma, which might have been a Mashu. So you already took off 10, right? And then you have 90 left, you take off 10% of that, right? So it's 9 instead of 10, okay? So 9 100 instead of 10. So that's going to come up here. You can eat corresponding to an echadasar, the iser echad, the echadasar iser, 11 iser, vechome iser, and 1/100th of an iser. Now, why is that? This is a very funny thing. We just came up with, okay, you assume that if this is an iser worth, and this is 9% of the total, so you'd multiply this and extrapolate and get the proper sum, right? Whatever it might be. But it's certainly not 11.1. How'd it come to be 11.1? So here, this is where it gets complicated. This is the way the Rashi Sirileo explains it. Again, the flaws in everything. Rashi Sirileo explained it like this. Remember, your father was of Safik Amoritz, but you know that he took off an Issa worth of Meiser Sheni on this. So there the Gemara says, if he took off Meiser Sheni, Mistome took off Meiser Rishon. Now here's the catch. That's all simple. That makes sense. The catch is, we assume he also took off, of course, Trumas Meiser. Right? That's part of taking off Meiser Rishon, right? But the Trumas Meiser, he didn't take off from this batch itself. He took off Trumas Meiser from somewhere else, corresponding to the Trumas Meiser, which would be necessary for this batch. Okay? So now, if that's the case, so the Meiser Rishon can eat anyway. Assuming it's Demai. Meiser Rishon can eat anyway. Because it's not, it's Chulin. Truma, we're not dealing with. Trumas Meiser, you're not allowed to eat. But in this case, we assume he took the Trumas Meiser from somewhere else. That the Trumas Meiser is not here. He had one Isser of Meiser Sheni, so that corresponds to 11 and 11.01 total tevel, which you can eat. 11.01 includes the chulin, which is this 9 Yisorim, right? Right? The Meiser Rishon, which is 10, which is the 10th, Meiser Rishon, which is the 10th. Right, he works the cheshbon the other way, so let me tell it to you outside. You know, let me write it down. I'm gonna the Cree, the total batch was 11 1/9. And 1/9. You took off from this 11 1/9, how much was my Sirishon? 10. From the 10, you took off 1 from Meiser Rishon, right? From the 1, you took off 1/10 as Meiser Rishon. And from the 1/9, you took off 0.9 as my Sarisha. Is that all clear so far? This is all my Sarisha. You start off 11 and a ninth before you took off anything, right? So then you took off 10 for my from the 10, 1 is my Sarisha. From the 1, 1/10 is my Sarisha. From the 1/9, 0.9 is my Sarisha. Okay? So,
why did you split up each 5/11 and 1/9 into three different segments? 10, 1, and 1/9.
Yeah, I do this bad. Right. I do what I do is bad. To make the cheshbon easier, but I made it more complicated. The 11 and 9th is really 10 and 10 ninths. Right? So corresponding to the 10, I took off 1. Corresponding to the 10 ninths, I took off 1 ninth. Okay? Is that better? Is that understood? Are you following it all? Okay. Well, again, for 11 nights, it took off 1 1/9 is the total miser which I have to take off. It really is more simple than I'm making out to be. We're trying to work backwards. If you have one iser miser sheni, how much it represented an original tevil, right? So what it means is that I must have had 11 1/9 original tevil. Because for 11 1/9, I would take off 1 1/9 of Meiser Rishon, leaving me with 10 from which I would take off Meiser Sheni, which this Isser represents. Okay, so working backwards, this son can now know, assuming that his father took off the Meiser Rishon, and the other assumption that the Trumas Meiser was somewhere else, external and not internal. So then this is the sum total of Tevel, which he can eat now, corresponding to what an Isser of Meiser Sheni represents. Okay? Is that relatively clear? So it says the Gemara, that's again, the far left over an Isser Meiser Sheni, Ochula vechodesar Isser vechami mea beiser. You can eat for, corresponding to this, 11 Isser, and 1/100 of an Isser. Why does it say 1/100? That's not 11 Isser 1/100, but it means 11 Isser that he explains here. 11 Isser plus the Shear of Trumas Maisa, which is 1/100 of the sum total of the batch. In other words, even though it says 11 1/100, what it means is 11 1/9, right? It's not 11.01, but 11.11. Why does it say 11 1/100? Meaning the shear of Trumas Meiser, which is 1/100 of the total batch, that's also permissible to him. Again, because we assume that the father took the Trumas Meiser from elsewhere and not internally. Okay? So that's how he explains it. Beishamai says, Hakol Asara. You can only eat 10. That's it. Not this 11 and a ninth. You only get 10. That's all. He says, because we don't know what he did with the Meiser Rishon. We don't know if he actually took it off, didn't take it off. All we know is he took off from corresponding Meiser Sheni. So therefore, we can eat 10 and no more. Besulamrim, it depends. Bivadai Echor Asar. If it was Tevel Vadai, so I assume that the father was misaking it properly and religiously. And that means that he took up both the Meiser Rishon and the Meiser Sheni. So therefore you can eat the 11 and the 9th. But Demai, if the crop which the father was dealing with originally was Demai, so then I'm afraid that maybe the father was lax. And therefore you only get to eat 10 and not the 11 and the 9th. So it's a little bit ironic. In Vadai, this is one of the rare cases which were more makel by Vadai than by Demai. Why am I more maker by father by might? Because by father I say for sure the father rectified it properly. If it was the might, perhaps the father didn't rectify it properly. So therefore I say that by vada you get to eat the full amount, assuming that the trumas maisa was taken off from somewhere else. By demai, I don't allow you to do so. I make you take off trumas maaser internally because perhaps your father forgot to do so. Okay? So therefore you have to lop off the one and a ninth as trumas maaser in order to take off the maaser and the trumas maaser therefrom. Okay? Is that relatively clear? Scale of 1 to 10 is over 5.
One night.
Okay.
Why would Beis Shammai assume that the Yamarits would take off Maaser Sheni and not take off Maaser?
The Gemara is going to discuss that. Gemara say that there is some machlokas where the Choshen al Sheni, but Naman al Sheni is Choshen al Rishon, right? That's what Beis Hillel hurts, but Beis Shammai says no, it's possible somebody would be believed in Maaser Sheni because he doesn't lose my Maaser Sheni. He keeps the money, right? He just takes up two shalim to eat it. My Maaser Rishon, he loses. He has to give it to a lady, or has to give, at the very least, has to give the true Maaser to a Kohen. So a person might be believed in Maaser Sheni, yet not believed in Maaser Rishon. Okay? That's what boils down to. Tanya Rabbi Chiya. Getting back to the beginning part of the Mishnah, Rabbi Chiya taught us that Shnei Yisorim Pundyo, that the two Yisorim in a Pundyo. Says the Moram, Rabbi Masnaya, Rabbi Masnaya said, Masniso Amra Kera. Mishnah teaches that. We don't need Rabbi Chiya to teach us that. It's elementary. How so? From our Mishnah. Hameniach Isser, because it says if you left in Isser, Vachal of Chetzio, and you already were redeemed half of it, Vachal Mokamach, and you went somewhere else, Vachal Yitz Punyon, there the Isser's worth of Punyon, in other words, your dollars worth $2, Ochal of an Isser, you just say you get another Isser. So we see something which went up twice in value, you get an Isser for a Punyon. Bottom line is, we see from our Mishnah that the two Isserim in a Punyon. Okay? I don't feel like going through the math right now, but it works. Let's take it on faith. Shmuel Amar, now the thing is like this. This is where it starts getting complicated again. We can stop here for tonight because we already did two plots. But I want to remind you as a prelude to tomorrow night what we're going to get back into. This is something which we haven't seen since Masechta Dmai, and you probably put it out of your memory. Let me jog it. Save us time tomorrow night. When do I say it's enough to take? Let's take Maaser Rishon. I take in Maaser Rishon. I take 10% of this kri, right? And take of truth from Maaser Rishon. What if I have 100, however, and I want to take Maaser Rishon from somewhere else on this 100? How much do I have to give from somewhere else on this 100? 11.111111111 ad infinitum. Do you remember that? Because it's 10 of 100, not 10 on 100. So therefore, if I want to redeem Maaser Rishon from somewhere else, so I have to do 11.111111111. Okay? Do you see how that works? Because it has to be 1 out of 10, which is, 1 out of 10 is a ratio of 1 to 9. 1 ninth, right? So therefore it has to be, well, that's 0.111111, and that's what I have to take where I go somewhere else. And the Gemara is going to compare our lovely Mishnah with that lovely Mishnah, and we'll do that tomorrow night. Be comforted in that the Gemara on this is very short.